Welcome to another episode of the Splitting Hairs Podcast, presented by Jackrabbit Illustrated. In this episode, the A-Team recaps the UNI game in Cedar Falls and talks about the final home game, a senior day bout with Illinois State. Splitting Hairs Podcasts are all presented by Drake's Place, Cottonwood Coffee, and are also sponsored by Dakota Iron Equipment, Shenanigans Pub, and Culver's of Brookings and Watertown. Now here's your hosts, Matt, Dallas, and Chad.
And welcome back to the Splitting Hairs Podcast, presented by Jackrabbit Illustrated, another Victory Sunday edition. And for the second week in a row, we are a team of three again. Chad, Dallas, Matt. I'm trying to think of a name for this, because without Kyle, I don't feel like
CDM? We can
call it the A-Team, but I think we should call it the Real DMC. Real DMC. Instead of Run DMC, Real DMC. So
does that mean we're difference makers?
No.
We're in a club?
No. Ooh. No. Well, we're in a club, but anyways.
You know, sometimes the season goes on, people go down, you got to fill in. I mean, that's what this is all about here.
Next man up. Yeah, that's right. Same in podcasting world too, right?
There we go. There we go. Exactly. All right. So I'm pretty tuckered out tonight. You know, I'm always honest with this audience. I'm pretty tuckered out tonight. Hi, Uncle Brian. Good to see you again. and we need to get to this, though. Let's get to this. All right. We'd like to thank Drake's Place and Cottonwood Coffee as our premier sponsors. Thank you guys very much. Drake's Place out in Bottle, South Dakota, you know, with hunting season really in full tilt now. It's a great hunting area out there. Get out there. If you're heading out to the river, whatever it is you're doing, stop by Drake's Place. Get loaded up on your snacks, your meals, your drinks, and some gas while you're there. So Drake's Place out in Bottle, thank you very much. Cottonwood Coffee. I drank some Cottonwood Coffee today. We finally made it through that other brand that we were drinking and woke up this morning, smelled it. I was like, ooh, that smells good. My wife had ground the beans, and it is just such good coffee. I don't know why I don't get it all the time. So delicious. Picked it up at Walmart in Montevideo. So if you're in Minnesota, check your Walmart to see if they have Cottonwood Coffee. Or if you're not in Brookings or Minnesota, just order it online and use the discount code JI22 for 10% off your online orders. So great coffee. Thank you. Thank you, Cottonwood Coffee. And
Darren's
thank you,
got a, Place. Darren's got a good point here. You could use some coffee right now, I think, Matt.
Yeah,
I mean, we skip no pleasantries, just straight at it, into the reeds.
Yeah, yeah. Reeds. What are reeds?
Oh, sorry. Your heartfelt appreciation for our awesome sponsors.
Hey, all right. I could use some coffee, Darren. Darren, it was wonderful to meet you yesterday. So that was great. Typo. Gosh darn it.
Sorry, man.
Not even garage time. Fault.
Not even garage time. Hey, but I did make it to Drake's Place on Wednesday.
Oh yeah.
And picked up
did
some
you really?
Pizza. Yeah, yeah. I was coming from Lemon. I've driven a lot of miles in the last week, a lot. And I picked up a couple pizzas. I had his Reuben pizza tonight. It was excellent. He gave me some bullet premix old fashioned. It's pretty decent. We doctored it up a little bit tonight. And he gave me some rum shotta, so he's going to help sponsor the pudding shot Santa, I guess, as it was. So that's what went into the pudding shots that got handed out down at UNI yesterday. So. Feels like longer ago than yesterday, though, doesn't it?
It does. So I have a really great story about Chad in that. So I'm going to tell this quick story quick, and then
great.
We can get into pleasantries. So Chad loaded up his, and our other friend Tim, loaded up their bibs with the remaining pudding shots.
Come on, you know,
remaining pudding shots. And we just had gotten into the doors to get our tickets, which
we're standing in line to get
held up for us. And Chad goes up behind a lady dressed in SDSU gear that's going to the players' will call ticket line. And he's like, hey, you want a pudding shot? Hey, I got one. And she turns around, she goes, why would you give me one?
And Chad goes, they're tasty.
Because they're tasty. They taste good.
And as it turns out,
It turns out it's
Adam Bach's mom, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, Adam Bach's mom.
I think she was a little bit worried that I was slipping something in her pocket, which I told her I was doing. I whispered it in her.
Whispered it.
I thought it was mostly benign, but apparently most people wouldn't do those.
You make friends like none other.
Hey, I was delighted. We'll get into it when we get to our game balls. I'll talk about it then, because we know who's getting the game ball.
Yeah, yeah. So Dallas, how are you, by the way? How was your work Christmas party?
It was okay. It was okay. It was a work party. I wish I had a better... I mean, we're a costume company, so it's the costumes are actually always worth the price of admission going in to watch that. I was full on. I actually have never owned a Harry Potter robe, so I was full on Slytherin garb, hat, scarf, tie, robe, wand, everything. So felt pretty good there. That was fun. Got to see a lot of people, thank a lot of folks. But I mean, I was obviously watching the game on my phone the whole time.
Good. Good, good.
No, we do not have to worry about anything being slipped into the pudding shots.
Oh, gosh. They're
totally safe.
Good.
Just yeah. Sometimes my delivery is less than normal, I guess. But yeah. I'm a bit extra.
You're just a giver.
Just a giver. But, and Dallas, before we forget, happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate Brendan, for some reason, celebrating on my birthday. Yeah, which is awesome. That was very nice of him. And he got all the birthday wishes and I did not, which is fine. So my plan is I'm just going to celebrate my birthday on his birthday coming up here in about a week. And then we're good.
Good. There you go.
There she is. Lana, love you. Of course.
So we were lucky enough, fortunate enough. Let's get moving here to sit in the SDSU section with all the parents and family members. So we got to meet a lot of family members that maybe we hadn't met yet. And one of them was Caleb Sanders' uncle and grandma. And it was just delightful. So it was very nice to meet you. And Chad, after a sack by Caleb, got so excited, ran over to her and bear hugged her and lifted her up for like 5 seconds. And I was very concerned that he was going to hurt her. So... Oh gosh.
I was just in the moment excited, you know.
It's, you know, when you're a fan and you get hyped up. No apologies.
No apologies. No apologies.
That's awesome.
All right.
Matt verified with her that she was okay and she was good with it.
I made sure. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about this game a little bit. It felt at halftime to me, it felt like we were in control. You know, I felt like we had moved the ball. I felt like our defense had done enough. And then we came out and scored right away to start the second half. And I was thinking, okay, here we go. This one is going to be the blowout that you wanted, Dallas. Yep. You know, that's what you had requested. But it didn't turn out that way. What are some of the things you guys saw in the second half that, you know, that maybe led to this – last second kick, this game-winning kick that we needed?
You go, Dallas.
No, I don't. Honestly, like I said, I was watching it in passing from a work event, man. So I don't know that I have a ton to add in the second half. I was more just kind of following as things went along. So go ahead.
I mean, I felt like we got a little conservative. I don't know if that's fair to say. Felt like we... I don't know if it was as much us as it was they had some good second half adjustments, mm-hmm. and came out through the ball a little better. There was a lot of points in the game where there was a couple little things that just happened to go not quite right, and that luck swung their way in most of those instances, except for obviously the last play. So I guess that's kind of how I saw it. Steve, if you know me, that's pretty much every time I'm at a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it did feel like that a little bit, Jim. I agree.
Yep. Yeah, so Jim said we were playing not to lose, not to win the game. Yeah, that's...
That might have been the players just getting tight, right? Because that happens when you're you know, you have the perfect season, so to speak, on the line outside of the Iowa game. Obviously, I'm talking FCS, but you know, you tend to play a little bit tight, and I don't know how else to say that, a little bit tight.
But how do you explain that when? I don't know how you explain that when that hasn't been the case all year. I mean, we've come out absolutely dominated third quarters. I was quite surprised to see that. And you're right, feeling like we, you know, more or less were in control in the first half. I was surprised you and I, they seemed uncharacteristic. they seemed sloppy, right? Like it didn't feel, there was some procedural things, some issues, just some sloppy stuff that normally I, at least in my experience, I don't feel like you see out of a Farley team. So I don't know. I mean, were we highly penalized second half? Was there anything that stood out there?
Yeah, the big thing was the intentional groundings that someone brought up. Mark had two intentional groundings in the second half that were just really uncharacteristic of him. He looked panicked in those moments, and that's something we never – I don't think I've ever seen out of Mark, besides his very first UNI game that spring season. he just looked out of sorts for a good, decent stretch in the second half. And one thing that I noticed, and did write this in Rants and Raves, it felt like we fell in love with passing the ball outside of the hashes in the second half. I really thought we had some good stuff going in the opening of the game across the middle. And like I said earlier, I thought we had to target their inside linebackers in the passing game. So I'm not sure what you and I did schematically as a defense to maybe take that away. But it really, I would have liked to seen us keep attacking it, because that's where Hines and Tucker excel, is over the middle. So it just felt like they kind of went away from it in the second half.
And then defensively, to me, it felt like we finally had somebody kind of pick apart our defensive backfield. And I'm not saying that I don't know if it was a depth thing, that we didn't have guys that could, you know, maybe get a breather the way that they would have if we had everybody back, everybody healthy, whatever. But did that continue in the second half? Because that was one of my big takeaways. Is I felt like that they, I mean, and I will say it, that's probably their top five, call them the best receiving core in the conference, and they were very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I felt like that was something that was maybe going their way.
Yes and no. I mean, Deshaun did come back in the game late, but he missed a big chunk in the middle, you know, after appearing to maybe get his bell rung early in the game. And he came back in and had that penalty then, right? At some point, I think, late. I'm struggling right now with my words. But then, you know, Dallas Beanham fell down on one play, like just – kind of weird. You know, I thought it was odd that with this speed that you and I had, we didn't play our safeties deeper for most of the game. Our safeties were really close to the box for a lot of the game, Dallas. And they did take advantage of that once on that shot play to Morency, and he had dropped the ball the play before. And so, I don't know. I struggle a little bit with the schemes that we were doing. With playing our safeties just so close to the line, I don't necessarily understand it, but who knows?
Yeah, we talked about that a lot during the game, right, Matt? It's like you're playing them real, real tight to the line, the safeties.
Yep. But Jimmy knows more about defense, or he's forgotten more about defense than I'll ever know in my life. So
certainly more than you and I combined. I don't know about Dallas. He's a
oh no, guy, yeah. No, I'm in the same boat. And I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean to make you tell me about the game. I had in my defense, everybody. I had between having to leave for a work thing last night halfway through the game, then I've been chasing kids and at hockey games, and I just walked back in the door about 15 minutes ago. So I'm not up to full form here and didn't get a chance to catch up on that.
Yeah.
Zach Larson has a good question here, Matt. Do you happen to know?
So. On the Merriam show last week, Tyler said, and we have our last senior with us this week. And so I'm interested in that. Like, that must mean there's quite a few coming back. So it's the ones that we already know aren't coming back. The Yankees, Mason, Greenfield, Drotsman. Who was it last week? Norblade.
Yep.
Malik. Yep. So guys that have gone through the Stig show must be the seniors that have already declared they're not coming back. So everyone outside of that, Caleb. So Caleb's not coming back. Reese isn't coming back. So all those guys have appeared on the Stig show at some point. I would expect they're not coming back. Landon Wolf. So, yeah, that's kind of cool.
For those on the podcast, it was just a question as to what seniors might be coming back. So,
yeah, thanks. Sorry about that.
No worries.
We got to talk about Caleb Sanders, though. We got to give him some love. You know, he's had a statistically, Dallas, you always say, you know, you can play the best game possible and not have a single stat show up in the stat book.
Yep.
I feel like that's been Caleb Sanders' year this year. He's just been a little quieter. And when you look at the film, it's he's getting double and triple teamed and, you know, knocked off just quite a bit. He's running stunts and loops with guys who maybe are having or getting the sack or whatever, just drawing the attention. He owned their offensive line yesterday. Three sacks from as a defensive tackle that in one game. That's pretty awesome, right?
Yeah, that's a great performance. I was a little bit concerned early on in the game. Really, everybody in the interior line really seemed to be getting washed laterally. There was some giant, there was two or three runs that the quarterback had right up the middle where it just kind of parted the Red Sea. And I don't know if there was anything that they were doing schematically with the way they were blocking or if our guys were just ears pinned back, getting washed, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But that got cleaned up. And yeah, man, what a great game from the Colonel.
Yeah. Do you think that's some of the games that they're playing? I wonder, as defensive linemen, and maybe the ends just not get being able to get back into the middle of the field like they
absolutely
supposed to.
Could have
that's
been.
What I kind of wonder. I'd, yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been every time. I mean, there are times where I think they just, again, so they took off, thought they saw something, thought they could get an edge, and then you know the guard just rode him back. And I saw that a bunch. But again, cleaned up, great game, absolutely dominated the interior of the line.
Yeah. Again, wrote this in rants and raves, but. Theo Day can sling the ball, man.
Oh yeah,
like
that's a good quarterback.
He looks like he should be playing baseball or something. Like that heater that he had. Peyton, I was sitting by Peyton Schaefer's dad, and Peyton had that interception go right through his hands, and we both kind of laughed. Like, geez, he's gonna have to check his hands for burn marks as fast as that ball was traveling there. Because jeepers, that he could sling it. And that's part of the reason he had the two interceptions, though. He didn't have a ton of touch on some of his passes when maybe he should have. So, yeah. Yeah. We do, Terry, we do have to talk about the punt return. Jaden Yonke, I had this in rants and raves, too, and just had, what, a 19-yard punt return, a 20-yard punt return, two 10 yards, and then another 19 on his five punt returns. That's phenomenal production. Like, I'd take that. Yeah. Shoot, I'd take those 10-yard ones on punt returns. He flipped the field for us so many times. And even if the offense didn't convert on it any time, it still made you and I, you know, have to march all the way back down the field consistently. So
I continue to be just amazed. And I hate talking about the Yonkees as if they're one person because they're not. But, I mean, they're probably used to people referring to them in tandem. I mean, that's probably just life of being a twin, right? But, my God, what good football players. I mean, they do everything well right now. Everything. Yeah. I mean, there was, I believe it was Jaden had a missed block, which was just the shocking, uncharacteristic thing that totally stood out. Like, what? That doesn't happen.
That was near the what would that be, south end zone, and probably the reason we only got a field goal on that.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds right. But, and again, I don't say that to be critical. I'm using this as a compliment, right? Like, I mean, they just are good at everything. And if, to me, the look at them, they strike me as put 30 pounds on them, that you could put them up at defensive end. If you like what, like tight end, whatever, any position, like they're just good football players. And I hope everybody appreciates the, mm-hmm. just the caliber that they're at right now.
I think the physicality that they bring there for their position is underestimated. Mm-hmm.
They got that attitude too.
And blockers. Yep. Yeah. Well, yeah, they definitely have
attitude, right? Yep. Hey, perfect. We love some firsthand source here. So,
sorry.
Yeah, thank you, Ray. Ray says that regarding the first intentional grounding from the source, he said it was as simple as receiver read one thing and a quarterback read another on a route that had an option. Yep. Those option routes, definitely. Yep. So,
We need to check your sources, Ray. I don't know about this.
I'd like a citation, please.
that picture was there's a picture of you and him, right?
Yeah,
you
Ray took Ray? That. Yeah.
God, that was so good. I loved it.
Ray's awesome. He looks a lot taller than me in that photo. I don't know how that happens, but stadium seating is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't know. I just love. I thought early in the year Tyler Feldkamp was doing a fine job on punt return overall. Had really kind of started to show some confidence in that. But I mean, it's pretty clear right now. Jaden is just at a different level as a returner, and able to make something happen if you give him just even a little bit of space. So I'm fine with that switch. And if Tyler's the punt returner next year, so be it. Like, at least he has some experience this year doing it. So
he's elusive. He's got that elusivity where he's not going to juke somebody out of their shorts, but it's almost like when this is kind of a lazy comparison, but when Winicky would shake people, he's got that longer strides where you can just kind of slip beside people, and he's got just the body positioning, the way that they can do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain any better than that, but I'm very impressed at how elusive and difficult he is to tackle in the open field. And then obviously he's solid and will put a shoulder into somebody if he has to too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It definitely doesn't shy away from contact.
Nope.
On the punt return.
Love it.
Which, yeah. Yep. I told Matt it's shades of Paul Anunsen that way. He's not afraid to just take the ball, run with it. And I love the ballsiness. I really do.
Yep. You know, a couple of things that I've been thinking about too is the kind of up and down day of the offensive line. In a way, we had 164 net yards rushing, 4.2 yards per carry, pretty damn good against that UNI defense that had just been giving up 3.4 for every game outside of Air Force. Mark did have a little too much pressure in his face, even though he wasn't sacked, for my liking. And I really especially don't like the continued penalties. I mean, Gus had a false snap. Both the right guard and right tackle had false starts. It was loud at the end when you and I was rallying, but still, some of those are just unacceptable. And if we're at home in the playoffs, we don't have to worry about noise. But still, by this point in the season, man, I wish those were cleaned up. I really do.
It was their largest crowd of the year with 9,449, I think I have.
Mm-hmm.
They were making some noise at the end.
Yeah. Yep. Was that a legit number? I mean, was there 9,000 people there?
Oh, yeah. I think that's correct. What's really strange, though, is we sat out in tailgating. Now it was raining, so it makes a little sense. But we sat out there, and it wasn't until probably we went into the building half hour earlier than what we normally would, a good hour in advance. And there was no one in the parking lot. We come back out to a completely full parking lot. So they kind of came late, if you will. I mean, right at the very tail end of entering. And the band's loud. The PA system's obnoxious. It's worse than the Fargo Dome because it sucks worse. Sound quality is horrible.
Yeah. They have signage attached to the front row, too. Yeah. And the fans that sit there bang on that sign.
Oh, yeah, you can hear that clear as day.
Like that was really loud. And they don't have the bottom of it tacked on, so it can smack pretty good and make a lot of noise. Man.
They really should get hard hats is what they should do, right?
Yeah, yes. Right? And they don't have, the style that we have. That's what it
That's true.
To.
And I can, Chad, I can see the cowboy hat over your shoulder is a little intimidating.
That one?
Yeah, that thing's awesome.
Yeah, that's the spare. So the other one's got a yellow star and a yellow band for obvious reasons.
Hey, there we go. Good. Hey, anything else to add, guys, on yesterday?
It was a really long game, our second to longest game. It was only 13 minutes less than the UND game with far less play reviews. So 3 hours, 30 minutes. I guess that's 210 minutes or 12,600 seconds if you're concerned with how much of your life you won't get back. It was a great game. I loved every second of it, honestly. So that's
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. It was so good meeting so many people that are here right now. Garrett got to meet you yesterday. So it just was, I don't know, a fun atmosphere, fun time. It was really hot in the Unidome. That did, like they had said in the spring season, it was super hot in there, but it really kind of like, whoa. And maybe that's because we stood outside in the cold for 3 hours beforehand.
It wasn't that cold. I mean, anything over 17 degrees is warm, right?
Yeah.
So everybody keep that in mind for next week. Anything over 17 degrees is warm.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, my only take on the game is just appreciating where we're at. I'm really happy we've got a team that I know that it's easy as a fan to want every game to be a blowout and to look easy, but I'm actually more encouraged by the fact that we've got a team that has found different ways to win, that has seen their share of adversity, not back down, but just, you know, has not faltered. They figured it out every single time. That is a great formula heading into the playoffs. We can run the hell out of the ball. Nobody can run against us. Just love where this team's at right now.
Yep.
Well, Matt touched on that a little bit on his rants and raves, and grit is the word he used. And I think that's the best description of this team. They're the grit team, and that's why they continue to find ways to win.
There's been penalties and questionable decisions and all kinds of different stuff that have backed us up, and if we just haven't been clicking, and I guarantee Stig after every game is like, can we play better? And everybody's like, yeah, because it's the truth.
Yeah, right? I mean, with a win like this, which felt great, it didn't feel like we, you know, one of those wins where we have a lot of things to fix, but at the same time, you go back and watch the games, there's still a lot of room for improvement. We could have easily won this by a couple duds. And, you know, we didn't, but it doesn't matter. Like I said to Matt, and like I've said for quite a while so far at the end of the year, is I don't care if we win by 1 point. Yep. You know, a W is a W, just like
I'm going to apologize for a win.
Yep.
Nope.
Before we move on, we do need to talk about this leaping that you and I fans are losing their mind about. So yesterday after the game, the lead writer for the Cedar Falls paper down there posted a picture that was taken by their photographer for the paper of Morency jumping straight up and saying, you make the call. Turns out that was the picture from the second attempt by Dustman, not the first attempt. And so it got all of you and I Twitter worked up into a tizzy that the refs blew the call. The guy that I've been talking to that does the corn stalks and sports radio thing, Elliot, is losing his mind, and we're debating as I'm in the back of Chad's truck, and I posted a video shaking down the interstate of on Chad's phone showing the video, and he clearly leaps, he runs, he gets a head start, he's probably 2.5-3 yards away from the line, runs, jumps, flips over, and lands on his head.
Exactly, in the backfield,
exactly in the backfield. What leaping is in college sports. It doesn't matter if you touch a player or not. If you jump over a lineman, that is leaping in college right now. That rule changed in 2017. You cannot jump over the line in kicking situations. You just can't. Yep. It's a player safety issue. And you saw how he landed. I mean, shit, he could have, you know, landed on his neck if he had been just a couple degrees back and really gotten hurt. So that is why it's a penalty. I don't know what to tell these UNI fans that are just losing their mind about it and that aren't in reality right now. So,
I mean, I feel, you know, we talked about it on the way down to the game about officiating, I guess I'll call it, and keeping the officials not really inserting themselves into the game, and I didn't feel like they did in this game. Like they were mostly whistles down. You know, the ones that we got, we definitely deserved.
Yeah,
I can't really say that from a UNI fan perspective, but for that last one, I can. You know, like you said, it was clearly the definition of the rule. So
yeah,
I don't know what you want to be mad about other than you got beat.
Yeah, and he did come out this morning and say it was too little too late, but he did come out and say like, oh, I hope I didn't start anything. This is the second field goal attempt, not the first. Like, if anyone is debating leaping, my bad. Like,
yeah, he's just looking for clicks. Let's be serious.
Yeah, you know what you were doing, Mr. Nelson, right? Jim Nelson's that his name? But
yeah, I think so.
Whatever. So, all right, let's do game balls presented by Dakota Iron of Sioux Falls. Chad, did we just again?
Yeah, we keep doing that. Anybody, if something pops up like that and goes off, it's because Matt and I both hit the button.
So, Chad, do you know what I did today?
No, I don't know what you did today besides probably go to church if I'm like betting, man.
I did not. That's when I wrote Rants and Raves. I put my snow fence up today because winter is coming. And if you are not prepared for winter, maybe you need to get to Dakota Iron and get some sort of equipment to help you move snow this winter. Because I bet that they can help you find it.
How about a skid steer?
A skid steer?
They can get you one. How about a front end loader? They can probably get you one.
Get you one. Yep. So if you're in need of that to be ready for winter, get a hold of John and his team at Dakota Iron in Sioux Falls, and they'll get you hooked up with what you need. So thanks for your support, Dakota Iron. We do appreciate it. All right. So last week, here's what we predicted, fellas. Chad, on offense, you had Wolf. I had Jackson, Dallas, Amar. Defense, we had Winkleman, Herder, and Williamson.
I don't like that you keep track of this.
I don't either, actually. How dare you call me on my own bullshit? That's what I want to say. But
Wolf, hey Chad, Landon Wolf really showed what he's all about. That catch and run he had.
Great game. In fact, it was borderline on who I'd claim for game ball.
Yeah. And Amar had a nice touchdown run again, Dallas. He showed that elusiveness. Jackson had some nice plays. So, I think we all were winners there. We all did fine.
That's what a loser would say, but go ahead.
With that being said,
I gave it to Isaiah. He ran hard, man, all game.
Same. I think we all agree on that one.
Yeah. Same. And he had four catches or something, too. I mean, just solid all-around game.
Yep. All right.
107, wasn't it? Or 105 net, but 107. So there was
Defensively.
Colonel.
Obviously, duh. Caleb Sanders.
Yep.
Obviously. Caleb Sanders. And I got to hug his grandma. She made my day. She thinks I'm famous. I'm just on the stupid internet thing. I love that I got my picture with you. You have to send it to me. I'm on Twitter. You can find me.
Oh, gosh. All right. Special teams. Oh, this is the controversial one. Special teams, fellas.
Is it controversial?
How is that controversial?
I guess it is. No, he's right. Here's why. Are you going to go with Yaki or are you going to go with Dustman?
Dustman. It's a game-winning kick.
It's hard not to go with Dustman, right? I mean, it's hard not to.
Dude, you got it. When kickers put up with so much shit, pardon my French, you have to. They win a game, you have to. I will not listen to anything else.
Hey, you know what? Because the blog is what I do, I chose both. Hunter Dustman and Jaden Yaki.
And that's a cop-out, and I've told you that several times. Don't be a Sally. That's a word I can use on this. You know the word I'm thinking.
Sally. I know. You said it multiple times yesterday.
I did say Sally a bunch yesterday.
Yes, you did. All right. Well, good. Well, let's...
Hey, Rev, what's up? Thanks for chiming in, bud.
Thanks. Go back and... Yeah, never mind. I'm not going to say it on this one. All right. You got to jump on Dustin.
Well, that's if we're not asleep, sir.
Yeah. Our good friend Tim checking in here fell asleep in the third quarter in the stands. And some UNI fans spotted him. And then came up and made fun of him afterwards.
He told me on the way home after he got out of the truck that he was just resting his eyes.
All right. Let's move on here. All right. The Jacks closed the season with Illinois State on
the Redbirds.
Yep. It is going to be cold. And this reminds me of one of my favorite games from when I was a student. And it was probably 07, 08, somewhere in there. 08, probably. Illinois State showed up in a frigid Coughlin alumni stadium and got absolutely crushed on a very cold day like this. You could tell when they ran onto the field, they did not want to be in Brookings, South Dakota at all that day. And I'm hoping we see the same Redbirds on Saturday when in the high is 19 degrees, right? Is that what it looks like
18
now?
Last I checked, but
oh, yeah, it keeps dropping. Said, that's right.
18. Anything over 17 is not cold. Let's be serious.
So welcome back to a live game, Dallas. It's going to be 18 degrees. So
that's awesome
to welcome you there.
So, I love it.
I'm drying out the walls. We're going to have heaters. Let's go. Let's do it.
Perfect. Yeah. You got, I know you'll be prepared. No question about that. I mean, is this a team coming in that has any, that will their coaching staff have them convinced they have anything to play for?
I mean, they could get to 7 wins still, but 7 wins is not going to get in, I don't think, this year in the Valley.
Although how many times has a 7-win Missouri Valley Football Conference team been left out of the playoffs? Yeah, but that's a better question.
Yeah.
But everybody's been pushing the narrative that our league's down. Perhaps, just perhaps, we're all better than you think. You know, it's also a possibility.
Yeah. And really, I don't know on this one. This one's tricky to me because if they were to beat us, like, that's a huge feather in their cap, knocking off the number one team.
Yep.
Right. So.
Yep. And Garrett Meyer says it best, you know, 7, yeah, like you just said, 7 wins means they beat us. So then it's a playoff game for them. It's a play in game. If you want to go to the bracketology of the big dance.
Yep.
You know, I'm just curious, are we going to maintain our interception streak? You know, we're going to finish the game undefeated in the FCS. I don't want to jinx us with the announcer jinx, but these are things that we could accomplish that we haven't really accomplished before.
The thing that I'm interested in, you know, outside of getting the win, is Illinois State's going through a bit of a identity crisis this year. You know, they're known as a team that runs the ball a ton, but they've actually passed the ball quite a bit and pretty well this year with Minnesota transfer Brock Annixted.
I mean, they got a great
– so
that's a very good quarterback. And actually, Zach's the quarterback. Brock's the brother.
Yep.
I had forgotten. So they quick to make this about my town. I forgot that those guys actually spent a year at Mankato West.
Yep.
So Annixted actually was quarterback at Mankato West, got hurt and got beat out, and then went down to IMG Academy.
So a lot
of folks around here, familiar with them. But great athletes. You know, his dad was I don't know, not a real long career, but was an NFL type guy, and he's a baller.
Yeah, and so he didn't play against Youngstown. They went with redshirt freshman Tommy Rittenhouse, and in his post game press conference, Spack said that Annixted has an injured shoulder suffered against MDSU, and it would not have been wise for him to play this week. It would have been a terrible decision because they need him to go through spring ball and get all of those reps. Hmm. And if he gets hit severe enough, his shoulder's busted. Kind of paraphrasing there. And he needs those reps. Then if he gets injured, then he won't get spring ball, yada, yada. So I'm curious if Annixted's going to play.
Oh, I mean, that would sound like he's not. And I didn't.
Right?
I attempted to watch that game, but the TV production was so garbage and the camera was so shaky that after about 10 seconds, I had to change it.
That's always the case there and at Western, right? But the way Brock says that, it's almost like he's waiting for next year. Like he's already sold the season down the river, which is really strange.
Yeah.
So you got to think that there's at least a good chance that they try and bring him back if he's the better quarterback for our game.
Yep. I mean, if playoffs are on the line, right? You'd think. So, yeah. Because Annixted is a decent runner. He has 200 gross yards this season, 4 touchdowns. He's their leading touchdown rusher. So
yeah, I mean, he gets 1.6 yards per carry, so that's stellar.
Yeah. whatever. Gosh. Passing wise, you know, he's showing that he's rusty in that area. 1,700 yards, 11 touchdowns, but 7 interceptions. So that's just something to watch. If he does play, he's going to put it into play. And then this Rittenhouse, they only let throw 14 times last week. He was 7 for 14. He did bust off a 42-yard run early in the game. And so that's just something to watch if he's, you know, a little more mobile. I don't know. A 42-yard run, that's nothing to sneeze at. So,
I mean, I feel like when it comes to running the ball, they really spread the ball around a lot if you look at their stats. Mm-hmm. So any number of people could be carrying the ball.
Yep. Yeah, their leading rusher is Wenkers Wright. 480 yards, 3.9 average. He doesn't. He's not a big back, but he's big enough, I guess, too. So, huge offensive line, like we become used to with Illinois State. Drew Bones is an Illinois transfer. Listen to this. He's a center, 6'4", 350. A center at 350 pounds. What?
It's a big dude at center.
Yeah,
big dude.
So, that's interesting. Experienced at tight end, Tanner Talla has been there for quite a while, 6'6", 255. So outside of that, their best wide receiver transferred to Incarnate Word, I think. So
I think that's correct.
Yeah. So some names that I'm just not familiar with. I was telling Chad before the show that we don't run into Illinois State a ton in recruiting. Sometimes a running back, offensive line, but outside of that, there's not a ton. So they did flip two of our recruits last year. Remember that running back from Indiana, Tank, and then the wide receiver. So that's interesting. We'll see how that plays out, but that's their offense. Not a ton of experience outside of Bones and Talla, like we talked about. So yeah. I did watch these guys in the shootout against Indiana State a few weeks ago. Yeah. And that was really interesting. I mean, in Indiana State's defense, we saw that. Not the best. But it was a pretty wild game. They do have some talent and able to score, obviously. So, yeah.
And I threw on the game against the Bison this morning when I was working out, trying to catch a little bit. One, because that's the only game I could find that had any type of production quality to the broadcast at all. Everything else was atrocious, but I figured that they'd kind of approach the game the same way. And I don't know. I mean, I think it jumps out yet again as another opportunity for our offensive and defensive lines to dictate the game. I mean, I think that that's what this comes down to yet again. I think it looks. I have no idea now with a different quarterback what to expect, but they took some calculated shots, and you could tell it was pre-planned. Didn't really matter if it was there or not. He said, okay, now we've done this. We dink, we dunk, run the ball a few times. Now we're going to chuck it over the top, try to open things up. Mm-hmm. They did that. Just kind of other thoughts at random. They got a returner. It's blanking on his name, number 0. He looked like he's definitely got some big play. Jalen Carr.
Carr.
Looks like he's got some serious big play potential. Very shifty. One of those guys that if he gets a crease, he's going to turn a 6-yard return into 40 pretty quick. So you got to watch out for that.
He has returned one this year too, it looks like. So
interesting. Okay. Well, that's good. A good challenge for our kick coverage.
98-yard return.
So. Yeah, I believe it. He was one of, like, knifing is what I would call it. You could just see, like, he was looking for that crease, looking for that angle, and, very explosive, could accelerate quickly.
Cool. That's exciting. Good. Good. A good challenge. I like that. Because that's one thing with you and I, too. Like, we knew their return units weren't great, but they didn't really do anything at all. So,
very surprised. We only gave them one kickoff return that was returnable, right? So, we kept two into the end zone or three, whatever it was, I guess. But only one of them they returned, and it wasn't that great. So,
that sounds like a special teams play of the game to me. Or did Dustman kick off? I guess I didn't notice.
Yeah, I think he did. So better to be lucky than good sometimes, Dallas.
There we go.
Yep. Ron Loney here representing the Big Sky again today.
And trolling us.
Ron, I'm tired. I don't have the energy to argue with you today. And as Brendan says, like, I don't care if these other Valley schools get in or not. Like, as long as the Jacks get in, I'm happy. It's awesome to have that bragging right of being the toughest conference, but at the end of the day, I don't care. And so if Youngstown and UND don't get in, too bad.
And if the Montana State Bobcats beat NDSU out there on the road in a semifinal, all three of us on this podcast will be cheering for Montana State. I can bet money on it.
Yeah. So good luck,
Ron. Take solace in that, Ron.
All right. Sorry. I'm just tired. All right. Let's move on to talk about their defense. So they run a 3-4, a 4-3. They shift all over the place. Some familiar names here. Jason Lewin, big defensive end, 6'6", 285. He's been there forever, it feels like. What I see for him, 42 career starts. 42 career starts for them. So he's been there a long time. Their Jack linebacker, which is their edge player typically. And that's Zeke Vandenberg, leads the conference in sacks, I believe, with 7.5 right now. He's a good player, flies all over the field, leads them in tackles too. Not just a pass rushing specialist, but leads them in tackles. So I don't know, that for me, I like to see that. I'm excited to watch him play. I'm not sure what side he lines up on, if he's going to be over O'Brien or Greenfield, or if he just is all over the place. I mean, 73 total tackles. Next closest is 57. So he's making a lot of plays wherever he's lining up. That's in the secondary again. Names that I don't know. I don't recognize these guys. most of them are new to the starting lineup this year. So anything, Dallas, when you watched that you saw?
No, nothing defensively that stood out a ton. They, you know, when they bring pressure, definitely dangerous. And I think it was that number 5 is the one that jumped out. I didn't.
Zeke Vandenberg.
Like I said, I was working out, so I wasn't actually taking notes. But I mean, you have to account for him. He's going to eat up some doubles for sure. You don't, you know, as much as I trust and respect to running backs, you really, it's not ideal to have them trying to block him one on one. If he comes as the fifth guy, right? So that stood out. I think their best corner's in number 3. Liked him in man coverage. He looked real solid.
DeAndre Lamont.
Yep. Okay, yep, that sounds right. He looked real good. So, again, I in the end, they might get theirs early on. I think our offensive line just going to wear them down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to act like I got a good feel for it, but it would stand to reason that, you know, that Hines and Kraft are going to cause some matchup issues there in the back, secondary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all fair. Our friend Jabari, where you been all season? I was thinking about you yesterday, wondering why we haven't had anyone, haven't popped on to remind us about Kennesaw State moving up to the FBS.
You were thinking about it yesterday on game day?
No, I was.
That's really sweet.
I was, because we were talking about Ron and we were talking about some of our other guests that join us nationally. And Jabari hasn't tuned in yet this year. So Jabari, like, congratulations on Kennesaw moving up to the FBS. Personally, I think it stinks. I want to have a good quality program there in the Southeast. And Kennesaw was. And so it just continues to be kind of a talent drain in the FCS right now. And I wish you guys were staying, but good luck at FBS. So, yeah.
Yeah, good luck to the Owls. That's they got a great coach. And, we learned that when we first played him in the playoffs. And listening to that guy, I think he's got something going there. And you guys are in an area of the country where you can succeed with recruiting. So,
yep. All right, Jordan Fink, SDSU is a seed for sure now. Agreed. Are the back-to-back bye weeks good or bad for the team? And I think I'm not worried about this. Like, I know
there's
some hand-wringing in the national media.
I mean,
banged up as we are.
That's good, right?
It's good.
I was going to say, because of our injuries, I think it is a good thing.
As far
as being rusty when we come out to play, this team's shown over and over again that they don't have that problem, right?
Mm-hmm. If
we win this game, the letdown game thing can get put to bed, right?
Yep. And a late bye week is bad midseason if you need it then. We already got through that, so now it's good. We got 2 extra weeks to heal up. Obviously, Bach is the glaring one of like, man, we get him back. That's absolutely huge. So, no, I'm not concerned about it. I don't think that, we're going to forget how to play tackle football over 2 weeks. I think it's a good time, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody healthy and rested.
Yeah. I think our experience with the spring season and those extended layoffs between games that we had really are going to be beneficial.
Stupid Coyotes.
You know, the kind of a basketball term here, but kind of the load management, knowing how to structure practices and everything. Like, I think that's just going to be a good thing for a 2-week bye, essentially. So, yeah. Yeah, John Green echoes that. So if John Green agrees with me, I feel good. So thanks, John, for tuning in. All right. Let's get into some predictions here. You guys want to do that? You got anything else to say about Illinois State?
They're a good team. Every team in the Valley outside of maybe the one purple team and the one red team are pretty good this year, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, if we – they're going to come in probably feeling like they've got something to play for. But if it's cold, miserable, I can only assume windy because it's Brookings, for God's sake – if we come in, put up 17 to 21, run the ball down their throats, they could be done halfway through the second quarter.
Yeah. 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 All right.
Yeah, I think
we're talking about it. Do it as we go here.
I look at this game, and I think the only way that Illinois State really has a chance to hurt us with their offense is if they can dink and dunk us. I mean, our defense is set up to kind of allow for that. And if they can do that, dink and dunk, potentially, you know, they could control the ball long enough to get fits. And, you know, they're going to balance that out with some runs and maybe a deep shot at one or two. And if a guy gets burned or trips or, you know, there's those kind of things that can change a game. But it doesn't seem like it's the MO of this team that when those things happen, that they completely change the outcome for us. I mean, as far as a W versus an L, it might be the difference in the score. It might change the score differential, but it won't, it doesn't seem to kill us, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. All right. My offensive player of the game. We're going to run the ball a lot, I think, in this one. So I think it's going to be Isaiah Davis on this one. I just think this is a game made for him. It's cold weather.
I'm going to go with Amar again, just because I tried last time and it didn't quite work for me. So I'm going to do that again.
Okay.
And I'll go with our number 85, the tight end over the middle. I think we
number 85. And get.
Good old what's his name?
That was good.
I know his name. I can't call out his number. You want me to say 87?
It's like guy?
Kind of.
It's like coach speak. You know, like number 82 for them is just a real player. So yeah, like coaches never know names. They just know numbers.
Sure. Tim's picking the 605 Hogs. Pick one. Pick a man.
Well, then I'm picking anyway. Mason McCormick.
Yeah,
there you go. No, that's my player of the game, Mason.
Tempted to, yep. But no, I'm going with Tucker Kraft. He's a stud. I think he's going to have a game, and this is where we start to utilize him a little bit more to see what we're going to try and do going into the playoffs.
Okay.
That's just my thought.
Sounds good. Defensively, Chad, you can go first then.
I want to say it's going to be number 11. You know, because All Freeman does is make plays.
He was going to be mine too.
Well, I mean, you can pick him as well. He's that much of a playmaker. That dude has came in and been an absolute difference maker on this team.
Dallas?
See, I feel like I can pick somebody different now. Let's go. You know what? I got to change it up. We're getting to the end of the season. We can't all pick the same person. There's obviously a lot of pride riding on this. Got Stallbird? Yep, let's do it. Isaiah.
Okay. All right. Mine is it's getting close to the postseason, and we know who shows up in those games.
Who's that?
Cade Trevier, baby. He had a sack yesterday. And he's getting there. He's heating up. So Cade Tavir is going to have a couple on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? I said the Lions were going to eat, too. I should have gone with the linemen. Nope, I'm committed.
They're committed. Well, you did flip-flop on offense, so.
Yeah, I mean, feel free to flip-flop like it's almost voting season. Feel
free to flip-flop. Very indecisive here.
Yeah, yeah. All right, and so when we get into scores here, do have to thank Culver's for sponsoring our prediction segment. And, you know, after or before the game, make sure you stop into Culver's and, you know, get your cement mixer, get your onion rings, get your cheese balls, get your French fries, burger, whatever you need.
I might have talked about this last year. Have you ever had a curd burger from Culver's?
I have not.
No, I've heard of them.
But oh, my God. It's so good. So what are we're talking Brookings and Watertown, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so if you go get one of those. Now, don't do it if you have anything else going on for the rest of the day. You need to get everything productive done first. Then you eat the burger with the quarter pound fried cheese curd on top. Because you get that done, you're not going to want to do anything else for the rest of the day.
It's one giant curd?
Oh, it is. Wow. It's like a patty.
It was like a bunch, you know.
No, it's like a cheese curd patty on top of the hamburger, and it's glorious. It just, you're not going to go out and rake the lawn.
Curder burger isn't available.
It isn't? Oh, no. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm a little bit late on that one.
Oh, my goodness. How did I not know about this?
Like, oh, man. All right. When it comes back next year.
Oh, yeah.
I got to talk to Brennan because he's being a bad Wisconsinite, not letting his fat friends know about the curd burger.
No kidding.
All right. I'm assuming it's a seasonal thing. So
that's we'll be on it next year. And Buffalo tenders are back. Thanks, Tim. That's exciting. I did see that. So.
Oh, delicious.
Tim's right. Calling it a curder burger.
It is a curder burger. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Chad, you need to get one. It was a good burger.
Hey, what's up, Levy? Hey, talk to you in a while, buddy. Cheers. He's one of my fraternity brothers.
That's cool.
Stud. Yeah.
All right. So let's get to scores now. So we did the offensive, defensive player scores. Dallas, you haven't got to go first yet.
I have not. I'm going to go Jackrabbits 27-17. Love a blowout. Don't think it's going to happen. Cold weather. Well, no, they're getting 14. They're getting 14.
14.
Yep.
Flip-flop again.
No, I had to. They're going to get one early, and then they're going to get a garbage late.
Okay.
I told you I was not prepared in any way coming in today. I'm doing my best here, guys.
Oh, you're good.
Make sure you fill out your vote with a number two pencil with an eraser.
All right, Chad, what about
Walls,
you, buddy?
Other guy. I don't know.
I'm just going to stab the middle of the thing.
I'm going to close my eyes and fill in a circle.
Gosh.
Like a 5-year-old.
Perfect.
That's probably just as beneficial. everybody should go vote on Tuesday.
Yeah.
We promote that kind of thing. You know,
we do.
Yeah.
You don't have a right to complain if you didn't vote. So.
And the other comment I'll make, since we're getting controversial here.
Well, that wasn't controversial.
I always want to make the point whenever anything remotely comes up. People that have differing opinions aren't evil. Talk to
That's
people.
That's true.
Learn
That's
from right. them. Half the country disagrees with you right now, whoever you are. So that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And I anyway. Only said Tim Walls, another guy, because I'm not from Minnesota.
Oh, no,
know
that's fine.
Who the other person is. It could very well be a female. Or
it's a guy, Dr. Jensen. He's no actually idea. Running with a former Viking. Very strange, but
Matt Burke. Yeah.
Yep, Matty Burke. Brilliant.
Right. I'm not Chad, who you got?
Minnesota.
Scores.
Oh, I thought you were going to say for governor. Oh,
no.
it's a red state, Matt. That's what I was going to say. It's a red state. Let's just say it'll probably go that way. I think that our good buddy here, Garrett Meyer, nails the score. 38-17 Jacks.
Okay.
Him and I are on the same track there. So,
well, I'm taking our good buddy Seth Meyer 27-10. That's what I had. So that's funny.
Well played. We were both spying what other people said, yeah. Going, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yep. So I'm glad you, Dallas and I are thinking 27. Chad's thinking a little higher score with 38. So perfect. With that, Chad, do you want to say anything about the takedown? What do you got coming up with that?
Yeah, sure. I should be set to record this Thursday with Coach, and we're going to do a season preview. So we'll get into a little bit of how the off season, because in wrestling there's not really an off season.
They just signed a couple of dogs, didn't they?
Yeah, they got three new recruits. One of them we know officially. They've been doing really well up there in Minnesota, so that's some of your guys' boys. And you know, we've done really well on the USA Wrestling with the freestyle. So we'll get into that a little bit with what Tanner did. Excuse me, this drink here is making me burp a little bit. So, yeah, I think it's going to be great. You should tune in. Thursday will probably be around 7 or 8. So look for that. I'll post something on Twitter as to the exact time. So
awesome. And then basketball season's underway, and the Rabbit Rundown guys are on their third episode this week. And if you want to know about Jackrabbit basketball, they are the guys to listen to. They're definitely not as good looking as we are, but they have some terrific information. Jacob and Cody do. And man, they have me pumped for basketball. And
we got some studs though.
Yeah.
The guys were signing. You know, we talked about it on the way home. Hendo's an awesome dude, and there's a reason that he's getting the guys we're getting. So,
yep.
When you get a stud from inside the Fargo Moorhead area, that guy's doing something right.
An Oregon State offer.
Oof. Yes. Yes.
So, yeah. All right. We have all sorts of fun stuff planned for football this week too. The usual content. We'll see if we can dig up some more stats. That was kind of fun finding some weird stats for you and I last week. Again, please like, sponsor, share, tell a friend.
Means a lot.
So last week we probably had 20 people like our YouTube page after we pushed that. So
Sweet. If
you don't like our YouTube page, please go like it. It's our dream to get 1,000 on there at some point. So
yep. Yeah. Do the like, subscribe, share, rate us, you know, on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. Very helpful. Please do that. Yep.
Definitely share. Word of mouth's a big deal. You know, there's quite a few people that are ardent Jacks fans that still kind of don't know about us.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you have to go hug strange, defensive tackle's grandma to get people to know who you are. It's grassroots.
Knew I was.
But. They knew. Yeah. And then I think this week we do have another sale on our Spreadshirt.
Ooh.
Our Spreadshop store, whatever it's called. And then I can tell you now that Black Friday, everything's going to be 35% off. So if you want to get a loved one in your life some Jackrabbit Illustrated swag and gear.
That's all my wife's getting this year.
Yeah, right? Get them some Jackrabbit Illustrated stuff from our shop.
Hey, so, you know, we had at the last game someone come up to a Brendan, a mother, and say, thanks. Now all my kids want for Christmas is hard hats. And we thought she was being sarcastic. And we're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, if they're cheap. And she's like, no, really, that's all they want. So it's great.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening and putting up with our nonsense. And sorry, I'm kind of tired tonight and a little
cranky.
Short. So cranky. Yeah.
Well, Jim's already called it here. So.
All right. Ready? Go big. Go blue.
Go
Jacks. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We would also like to thank our title sponsors, Drake's Place of Bottle and Cottonwood Coffee and Bistro of Brookings. We would also like to thank our other sponsors, Dakota Iron Equipment of Sioux Falls, Shenanigans Sports Bar and Grill in Sioux Falls, and Culver's of Brookings and Watertown. And as always, Go Jack!